This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, Australia's only LGBTI program focused on the horror and sci-fi community.
Are you prepared for the zombie apocalypse? In case of emergency, break glass and tune in to Joy 94.9 on a Tuesday night for Sci-Fi and Scream.
Just a step, cried the sad man. Take a look down at the madman. Theater king's on. Silver wings fly beyond reason. From the flight of the seagull come the spread claws of the eagle. Only fear breaks the silence as we all kneel, pray for guidance. City, only specters still have pity. Patient cues for the gallows, sing the praises of the hallowed. Our machines feed the furnace, if they take us, they will burn us.
Season. With your hope to your reason. Welcome to Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9. Thanks again to Chatterbox. Another great show here on Joy 94.9. And yes, a little bit of Sci-Fi and Squeam madness this morning. Some this evening. Well, that's morning for me. That was a little bit from the wonderful Ash versus Evil Dead. Reinvigorated Knife Edge. That's it. And it's Emerson Palmer. Probably know Emerson Lake and Palmer. Keith Emerson, just to dedicate the show to that awesome prog rock artist, keyboardist. You can hear some of his work in the background. Passed away suddenly on Friday of last week. He was only 71, so we're losing a lot of great musical legends, and of course very sad by that. But their music has been used in several sort of genre and cult and horror films. And of course, a favourite of mine would be none other than the very special cover, which was H.R. Giger's artwork, which you may have seen. That, of course, Brain Salad, as I talk about it, back in 1974, an amazing album cover. So they pretty much dominated the early 70s with progressive rock, as it was called then, sort of like a fusion of jazz and everything else, and used a lot in horror film soundtracks. So yeah, look, it is pretty sad to lose a legend like that. Sadly, it was he took his own life, it is believed now. And condolences to his family or friends. But what an amazing man, wonderful gift there. Now tonight, even though we're starting off a bit sad, and you know, everybody loves the front cover of Brain Salad, as we know it, Brain Salad Surgery, very famous. Of course, H.R. Giger did do work for Alien or Ridley Scott. But tonight we've also got a great little interview with Dean Haglund from X-Files. He's going to be here in Melbourne Town for X-Files Improvised, for the one and only Melbourne International Comedy Fest. Play a bit of that, or as we know him as Richard Ringo Langley from the wonderful X-Files series from the 90s. And he'll be talking about his involvement with the new X-Files too. So throughout the evening, we'll be talking about 10 Cloverfield Lane. And this is the J.J. Abrams produced film that is out now. Came out last Thursday. And it certainly is taking audiences' breath away. It took mine. Find out more about what I thought of it when I review it in the show tonight. So yes, I just love Ash versus Evil Dead and how they have restored to our ear holes wonderful prog rock like this one from Emerson Lake Palmer, but also the great music from Deep Purple and others. Dr. John, of course. So you can't go wrong with some progressive rock. If you're a Goblin fan, like I am, of any of the Dario Argento films, this will be a treat for you tonight. Okie dokie. But first up, yes, some of the great genre news that is out there. It's amazing. We've had some pretty cool stuff happen in the last few days. The Xena reboot is going ahead. Mm-hmm. The Xena reboot is the reboot to end all. Now, since 1995, when it debuted back on television, made in Kiwiland, of course, Xena Warrior Princess became a lesbian cult favourite, of course, as we all know. And certainly wonderful performances from none other than Xena herself, well, Lucy Lawless, and Gabrielle, played wonderfully by Renee O'Connor. Look, even though the sexuality was never really explicit in the show and never actually addressed as such, it certainly was very highly suggestive, and you can't, you know, look past some of those more intimate clinches in outdoor spa pools or whatever the equivalent was for the underworld or overworld of that particular mythological space and landscape. So, yes, it ran for 6 seasons until 2001. It was sad to see it go, but things move on. And now NBC in the US have ordered a Xena pilot by writer Xavier Grillo Magrich, who did The 100. And he said that how he's writing it, he says he's going to try and look at and fully explore the relationship that went between the two main characters there. So we could be in for it could be interesting. It's either going to be more explicit or who knows. Well, we look forward to finding out just how that is going to happen. Now, New Zealand actress, of course, Lucy Lawless, hasn't been very vocal about her interest, as so far. There's no word about what her role might be. But her husband, Rob Tappert, of course, was the co-creator of the original Xena series. And he says that, yes, she will be involved in the reboot, which might be out as soon as 2017, next year. So that's pretty amazing. That's very quick off the mark, but I guess they've got to keep up with things. Now, so he said that she may be involved. She's hoping to be, and so is he. And they still have an interest in what happens with the show, the new one. We're looking forward to it. I'm sure it'll be massive. There's a lot of those 90s reboots making their way back to our screens, whether it's online, on our phones, wherever we may view it, however we may view it. They certainly don't fade away and go away, but like Emerson Lake Palmer. All right. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam. We'll be talking to Dean Haglund very soon from X-Files. So stick around and stay on the Squeamer dial. You can always message me on 0427JOY949 or email on air at joy.org.au or Twitter, tweet away. Our handle is at Queer Geeks of Oz. That's at Queer Geeks of Oz here on Joy.
Hi, this is Gail Simone and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Alina Huffman for Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
The Melbourne Athenaeum Live.
This is Maddie Doe, and I'm here at the Stranger With My Face Film Festival on Joy 94.9 for Sci-Fi and Squeam. Had an awesome time talking to Sonia.
This is Sci-Fi and Squeam. This is Sonia here on Joy 94.9. Sci-Fi and Squeam, and we have the amazing opportunity to speak to Dean Haglund, of course, who is going to be at the 30th Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Now, the festival starts 23rd of March, 17th of April, and so I want to welcome you onto the show, Dean.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Very excited about you coming to the Comedy Festival here in Melbourne.
Yeah, me too.
It's the first time you've done Melbourne Comedy Fest?
It is, yeah. I had, I'd done Edinburgh, went twice, I guess, yeah. And but that was quite a few years ago, so it's great now that I'm living down in Sydney, that it's a quick hop over to Melbourne.
What's he doing in Sydney? What's happening in Sydney?
Yeah, well, my better half got promoted here, so.
Oh, cool.
The whole caboodle, all the dogs came over and the whole nine yards. So
wow!
Now we're here and having a great time.
Gosh, that must have been quite an experience. Bring the whole.
Well, yes. I mean, the dogs themselves have to go through 150 days of blood work and vet visits, all carefully timed with the results FedEx to the Department of Agriculture. It wasn't too traumatic, but it was
right.
It was a big deal.
It wasn't the Johnny Depp experience, so that's
no.
Good to know.
Well, and my dogs know Johnny Depp's dogs, not to name drop.
Oh wow! But, they've sniffed each other out. That's awesome.
Yeah, they all hang out in the same doggy area, and
and your show, of course. When does that kick off? The 24th, is it?
Because I'm flying in on the 23rd.
Ah, right.
So
yep.
That's why that's in my head. So you're right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad we're getting this all straightened out.
You'll be getting ready on the 23rd,
yeah,
pretty much. Cool. All right. And goes to the 3rd of April. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, 60 minutes. That's a lot of time.
Well, my show is a one-man improvised episode of The X-Files. Why it sounds a lot of time, I'm actually bringing audience members up to play Mulder and that sort of thing
cool.
Join me on stage. So to say it's completely one-man for an hour, it's actually one improviser and then punters having fun. The punters is the correct term down here, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. There won't be any abductions, will there? Or are we spoiling something?
There's always... because the plot lines are all improvised, it could be anything. I was up here in Sydney last night doing one, and there was a kitten with laser eyes as the...
Wow.
Yeah, so I really can't predict how these shows will go.
No animals are going to be harmed, though,
No, all the animals are either mimed or sound effects or played by audience members.
Oh, cool. Because it is, it's been a long time coming, this kind of show. And, since you've been Richard Langley, we know as one of the lone gunmen for the X-Files. But your background, I believe, is stand-up, as a stand-up comedian.
That's correct.
Yeah, how long has it been since you've done this kind of side of your work?
Well, it's always been something due in between acting gigs and other stuff. So I started with Ryan Stiles and Colin Mochrie in the Vancouver Theatre Sports League, whom you know from Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yes, yes.
And trained and did like 2.5 shows for 4 years, including a Star Trek musical that ran for 4 years up there.
Okay.
So my sci-fi improv background is pretty thick. In fact, for those who watch Stargate SG-1, the actor who plays Walter Harriman, who opens the Chevron 7 locked the gate, he's one of my best friends and also an improviser.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we go to sci-fi conventions, we often perform together, sometimes doing improvised episodes of Stargate called Star Hole. But,
okay.
Yes. Just let's say I do a mean Amanda Tapping.
I was just about to say, has she seen this?
Yeah, she has. She's given it her thumbs up approval, even though, you know, mean sports bra is not really something to be seen. But
right. Now, when you look at things like X-Files and you look at yourself and you just see these overwhelming amount of Canadians who were, like, invaded, you know, there's the X-Files itself. It should be Can X-Files, I suppose. Canadians?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was originally shot up there, of course.
Yes,
which,
yeah.
You had that gloomy look because it rains a lot in Vancouver. And being
it's
in a
mysterious.
Rainforest.
So. It's a mysterious feeling.
It is a mysterious feeling.
Yes.
And particularly when you get into the old growth forest and stuff like that, it's always dark.
It's perfect.
And
yeah.
Chris Carter was one of the first to really capture that mood and get it onto a TV show.
Mm.
So originally the Lone Gunmen weren't going to be recurring characters. It was just going to be one episode. So they just cast local Vancouver actors. And lo and behold, myself and Bruce Harwood and Tom Braidwood, who played the three lone gunmen, were kept just being asked back, you know, oh, can you come and do another episode? Not ever thinking we should actually sign some sort of long-term contract or anything to be looking at recurring characters. And then it just sort of grew. And it was the early days of the internet, too. So fans who were starting to form on the internet to talk about the show said that, well, the Lone Gunmen proved that the producers are lurking in our news group because they're writing characters that represent this culture. And that was true, in fact.
And I mean, with the series, too, just the few episodes that there were, that in itself has spawned, I suppose, that more, I guess you'd say, a cult following, would you?
Yeah.
Which
well,
is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the X-Files used to be called a cult following, but now it's pretty mainstream.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Especially
with the new series and all the, you know, my goodness, all the rumor and conjecture that was going on just when two certain people appeared at San Diego Con a couple of years back, that just the storm that caused.
Yeah, everybody went crazy then. So it's been, like any show, it sort of grows, you know. It goes through cycles, and now it's on the upswing, I guess.
This is Astron 6, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Should you have said your name, though? Matt from Astron 6?
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Right.
Hey, this is Matt from Astron 6, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Yes, here you are on Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy and 94.9. That was just part one of our little chat to the wonderful Dean Haglund. Yes, of course, Ringo from The Lone Gunman and, of course, from The X-Files from the 90s. He'll be talking in a moment or two about what is going on with the new X-Files and a little bit of a scoop about the future of that show. Mm-hmm. The new series, of course, did pretty well, and it looks like it shall continue. Now, we've had a message. I must read this out. A fabulous message has come in from Chrissy. I want to thank you, Chrissy. I hope you're a Joy member as well. She says, hi, Sonia. Just wondering if you've heard the recent news about The 100. It's a sci-fi apocalyptic show on the American CW channel. Yes, I have. And a bit of controversy here, too. The showrunner of the Xena reboot, Xavier Grillo-Marjux, who we spoke about before, he wrote a recent episode in which the lesbian character, the main lesbian character, was killed off. Now, this is spoilers, of course. If you haven't seen the series, this is what happened. You might want to block your ears, but basically it's been in the news in the last few hours and it's caused quite a storm on old Twitter. So the lesbian character was killed off in a scene that was practically plagiarized from Tara's death in Buffy. And she goes on to say, it was very controversial due to the 100's writers actively courting LGBTQ fans to watch the show on social media. And that is true. I have seen it everywhere. A plethora on After Alan, on Advocate, on many Pink News, on many other outlets for queer people and queer genre fans. And so to watch the show, they've been trying very hard to harness us as an audience, and then to kill off the only lesbian character in one of the most offensive ways possible, right after a love scene, in brackets. Okay, so we are spoiling it a bit here, but it's important to talk about these things. So fans have been up in arms about it on social media, she says, for over a week, and it has received attention from major media outlets, she says. Interesting factoids she's got here. The actresses playing the lesbian lovers on the show are Australian. Very good. Eliza Taylor, who plays Clark, used to be on Neighbours from Melbourne. And Alicia Adebhanam Carey, who of course is the lesbian character who's killed off, is now on the Fear the Walking Dead, and she's from Sydney. So we'll put that article up. I want to thank Chrissy very much indeed for getting in touch with us about that. If you do have any messages or you want to talk about the killing off of queer or lesbian, female or bisexual characters on our television sets, let's know about it. Just SMS me 0427 joy949, or you can email me on air at joy.org.au, sorry, for Sci-Fi and Squeam. We're always open to chatting about these things online because it is important. And yes, it made the Sydney Morning Herald as well, talking about Australian actress Alicia Adebnam Kyrie as Lexa in The 100 and the killing off of her. And fans are certainly upset. So there's a hashtag going around protesting her demise. Hashtag CW Stop Jason Aroffenberg. And that's been trending. So carry on with that hashtag to find out more if you want to. He seems to be losing a lot of followers on Twitter after what's been going on. And friends and advocates and allies of the show, queer and not queer, are certainly upset because, hey, we get so few characters in these sorts of shows, and it is really disappointing when that happens. And, of course, for those who don't know, Jason Aroffenberg is the creative executive producer of The 100. And, yes, basically, he's not really being helpful right now. So we'll see what happens on Twitter about that one. There's also a petition that looks like it's going to happen. And so far, it's attracted more than 12,000 signatures. So we'll see what goes on there. So I'll put that up, too, on the old Facebooks, and we'll see what happens on Twitter. You can always tweet us and connect with us on at Queer Geeks of Oz as well, and we'll be happy to tweet, to love, to heart, to like, to respond, whatever it takes. If you have any news or any opinions you want to say or talk about to do with our genre. Like I said, we get so few shows that have strong female characters, let alone queer ones. So it would be wonderful if we had more representation and maybe we could write them, some of our own people. I'm not being separatist here. I'm just saying, hey, I'm being favouritist, if anything. And I love genre and I love sci-fi and I'd just like to see, yeah, a lot more happen with our stories. Why not? Here on Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Some more Dean Haglund in a moment.
This is Judson Scott, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
The Lone Gunman, of course, went 13 episodes, and that, I would say, has a cult following. That's not everybody knows about that, and the people who do know about it really love that show, talk about it frequently.
Which brings me to the fans. Interesting love, yeah. And adoration.
You know, I really appreciate all of it, actually, and quite an honor, actually, to hear some of the stories of how much the show meant to them. And also, because we play conspiracy theorists and,
yes,
and
of course.
All that sort of thing, we would get to hear all the sorts of unusual conspiracy theories and UFO sighting stories and that sort of thing. So that was really fascinating, too. So much so that my co-producer took a camera one year and followed me around, and we actually did a documentary of a lot of the people that we met called The Truth Is Out There.
Right.
Which you can find online.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of it. It's pretty amazing, the lengths people go to and just that passion and that love. I mean, it's, like I said, when it did hit that they were going to make this 10th series, it 10th season, I mean, to revive something like that, it just shows you what an impact this show had on
the
genre.
Yeah, and that was the thing I think all of us were surprised at, that, you know, we would do conventions for maybe the last 2 or 3 years after the show ends, and then we'll all go on. But the conventions kept coming, and then a new generation of fans would come up to the table. They started watching it and found it on Netflix and that sort of thing.
Yep.
And it was, you know, and the show held up. It didn't seem, other than the size of the giant cell phones, it didn't seem that dated.
Blowwave styles of the
period. Oh, yeah, yeah, so early Scully hairdos.
And you, with your grunge, the grunge sort of long hair, do people, I mean, you can get away with it. People recognize you in the street
without the hair? I cut my hair for another movie, so now I have short hair.
Yeah.
And then the glasses were fake, so when they recognize me, they actually recognize me from my voice. Believe it or not. People will come, you know, I've had guys run around the corner right past me looking for me, not realizing I look like this now, and so, but they heard my voice from a distance and came looking for Langley.
Yeah, they need one of those apps on their phone where they can push.
Where's Langley now?
Now, of course, with the new series, The Adventure There with X-Files, that experience, you know, you were approached by Bruce Harwood. Was that, how did that come about?
The story of how the new series came about?
Yeah.
Because I moved down here, I guess nobody knew how to contact me, though you could have gone to my website and emailed me. But
we do have electricity and phones here.
No, they just assumed I went out to the outback and cut off power.
Yeah,
something.
Like Crocodile Dundee or something. Isn't it amazing what people think? Do people say that to you? They go, oh, be careful of the drop bears.
Yeah.
And the snakes.
And how are you, you know, did your dogs get attacked by snakes and devoured yet? And, you know, no. The lovely city with, you know, clean streets and things.
You're in Newton, aren't you? Newtown, I mean.
Yeah.
So that's
absolutely.
Very central, yeah.
Yeah, and I love the neighborhood. So, yeah, so Bruce, still keeping email contact, of course. And he had said, hey, you know, this actually might be a thing where we're going to be on the new series. And I'm like, I don't think so. We've been killed off. How is that going to work? And he goes, yeah, no, I think you should call the casting office. And I'm like, whatever. Mm. And as soon as I called, they go, oh, my God, thank God. Oh, holy
He's bull. Alive.
Yeah, he's alive. It's like I literally called from the dead. It was and they were so thrilled. And so they just said, yeah, we'd love you to come to Vancouver. And originally they were going to have me fly in and get off the plane, go directly to set, and then if I finish fast enough, just drive me back to the airport for another 14-hour flight back down here. So I was like, that seems a little intense.
That's a bit extreme, yes.
Yeah, so they rescheduled it so that I got, two days to acclimatize to the jet lag.
And the, you know, the supernatural atmosphere, I suppose.
Well, if you saw the episode, it's in a country and western bar, so it was kind of a festive episode. It was all, David was as funny as ever, and Mitch was there, and it was Chris was directing, and even some of the same crew was behind the camera. So
cool. It
was actually really old home week, and it's as if we went back in time 20 years. Nothing had changed. It was really great.
Cool. That is really cool. That is really cool to be back with the gang to work again.
Yeah, it was really sweet.
Anything you can say? Is there going to be more sudden appearances?
As we've been following our Twitter feeds and all that, and I've been reposting on my Twitter every bit of gossip that comes through. Those who want to follow, I'm at D. Haglund, of course.
Mm-hmm.
The rumor is Chris has said he's interested in doing more. And Fox Network said that the ratings were phenomenal and yes, they're interested in doing more. And David and Jillian have said, well, we've got other projects, but we'd be happy to do more if our timing all lined up.
Mm.
So I think there's a very big chance that there's more episodes coming. Now, of course, nothing's written, no agreement has been struck, but I assume everybody's, you know, it, with the air quotes, having lunch about it.
They're all keen. I guess we just have to wait for what the crop circles will say.
Yeah,
and then,
exactly.
You know.
Right. And all the conspiracy
fans
stories that come out. Yeah.
Oh, we can look forward to that. There was, there's nothing better, I think, than when the fans get talking about things. I think Twin Peaks has been the other one where there's been so much rumor fueled and so much talk and online as well. Another great series from the 90s that has had a huge impact in coming back. So looking forward to that too.
Yeah, and there's sort of a parallel between the two in terms of Twin Peaks sort of was one of the first to have an ongoing story arc that then The X-Files sort of did as well.
Mm.
And then the mystery of the Pacific Northwest and how it's all gloomy. Both those shows, now you remind me, really
lots
exemplified
of misty
that.
Rain.
Yeah, funny, it rains there so much.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's FBI agents in there. There could always be that universe where it could cross over.
Say, that's the first I've heard of that. That's
a great idea. I'm sure a lot of fanfics out there, you know.
There's a new rumor that you just started.
Who ships who? Yeah. The fans.
Marketing any show is so hard now that if you have anything that has any brand awareness or the ability to, reduce the cost of how much it costs to advertise nowadays.
Yes,
Everybody jumps on that.
So look, for the show coming up, getting back to the Comedy Fest, pretty excited. The preview's on the 24th, and the show kicks off proper, does it, on the Saturday and goes to the following, well, to the Sunday, the next Sunday. The 3rd of April. Mm.
That's correct. Yeah, I'm at the Trade Hall in the old council chamber, I believe.
Right, yes.
In central there, so that's a lovely spot.
Suitable for audience of all ages, too.
Absolutely. It's audience participation.
Yep.
So if the audience says something raunchy, that's not my responsibility. But I
to go with that.
I keep it all above the belt as much as I can.
Yeah. And can people cosplay? Can people...
The stuff people
can they come along as you?
Like... Yeah, that happened once. There was a whole... hen party where they all dressed as me. That was very odd. that took me aback.
Ooh.
But yeah, cosplay, X-Files cosplay is pretty low key because
it's
trench coats and torches. And
there'll be lots of men in gray, I'm sure.
There's not a lot of zany outfits you can actually do with that. So yeah, cosplay means you're probably just bundled up for the rain, really.
Yeah, that's true. The Vancouver look, perhaps.
Yeah, totally.
Especially now that it's the 60th anniversary of the original Star Trek series this year.
Absolutely, 75th of the Roswell crash. Isn't that
ooh,
in there?
Ooh.
Look at
spooky.
Well,
you know your alien stuff, don't you? Oh, it's all amazing. Have you ever been to Roswell?
I have, yeah. I was there at the 65th anniversary. They sort of have a parade and a, talks and all that sort of thing and tours of the site, supposedly. But and then I've just been invited again.
Oh, cool.
Coming up, that's how I knew it was the 75th. And it's very hard to get out there, of course, because it's in really the middle of nowhere.
Oh, look, Dean, it's been fantastic speaking to you here on Sci-Fi and Scream. Wow.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being on the show.
So that's the X-Files Improv, Dean Haglund, at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, and it starts on the, preview 24th of March. Oh, that's very soon. And, of course, runs through to the 3rd of April at the Trades Hall, the Old Council Chambers. You can jump online, just go to www.comedyfestival.com.au/ and look up 2016 and the show's there, X-Files Improved.
Hi, this is Dean Haglund from the X-Files. And you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.5.
Point nine. It's all right.
It's 11:55. I had that.
Yeah,
one.
No
okay,
worries.
Let's try that again.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, this is Dean Hagling, Langley from The X-Files, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy. No problem. We'll see you. We'll see you in Melbourne.
Thank you. Bye bye.
You bet.
Bye.
Bye.
It was great to speak to Dean Hagland, of course, going to be at the 30th Melbourne International Comedy Festival. So check that out. The dates, we'll put that up on the Facebook page as well. Starts from the 23rd, so with the preview, and then he runs through to the April 3rd. So great improv. So you can pretty much come along as your favourite Dean Hagland character, or Ringo, or one of the lone gunmen. If you're into X-Files, it could be your thing. Like I said, we'll put it on the Facebook page. And of course, we have a message come through, another message from Chrissy. You're doing well tonight, Chrissy. Thank you so much for keeping the show topical and relevant. We always like that from our Joy listeners and our Sci-Fi and Squeamers especially. So, yes, thanks to you. We've just mentioned earlier about the 100, the show with, spoiler, the lesbian death trope, which perhaps we don't need. We need some more positivity there. And also she wonders if I can mention to fans... have raised more than $40,000 to donate to the Trevor Project, which is amazing, which helps provide suicide prevention services for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender and questioning youth in crisis. So that's really interesting. Many LGBT fans, she says, have been deeply affected and betrayed by the show's writers, hence that hashtag. I've put that up on Facebook for Sci-Fi and Squeam and Queer Geeks of Oz, in case you're interested. The article from the Sydney Morning Herald's there too. And it has sparked a lot of people to... you know, look for help and assistance, as we must do. We must support people who have been affected by such shows. When they do this, it can be very demoralising and depressing. And, of course, also opportunities for queer writers and television and queer actors and queer supporters and advocates. It's also a bit of a cold water in the face, one could say. So if you are thinking of, you know, if you are concerned or you do want some assistance or help or someone to talk to, there are a couple of local resources, of course. There's the Trevor Project in Australia. They have a locality there. Just head to www.thetrevorproject.org to find out more about what's available around locally for yourself. There's also Switchboard, www.switchboard.org.au, or you can call them 1-800-184-527, and they help our community as well. They're in Victoria, however, for that one. But yes, if you need counselling or support, want to find out more, if you want to volunteer, certainly check out Switchboard. They're easy to find online. And also, because we did mention the self-harm of a very wonderful keyboardist, Keith Emerson, passing away last Friday. And of course, do want to mention, you know, there is help out there for you. Switchboard is one of them, Trevor Project. There's also Helpline, of course, and Lifeline online, so check them out too if you need to. Don't hesitate. Message us in 0427 joy 949, or you can email us on air at joy.org.au. so thank you, Chrissy. That's very kind of you to send through that message. And finishing off with her message, great initiative. Someone, the initiative is led by a group of fans lovingly known as a Les Grew, I hope I said that right, united clan of LGBTQ supporters, allies, named in true grounder honour as per the show's mythology. That's wonderful. So the 100, let's hope things improve there. I do hope so. And thanks again to Dean Hagland for speaking to us, and for the guys over at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival for that opportunity. Very kind of you. What are we going to do now? We're going to play some Pippa Brown in a moment, and then I'm going to finally do the review for 10 Cloverfield Lane. So stay tuned for that. If you like a bit spooky, like it a bit strange, then this is the show for you here on Joy 94.9.
This is Dante Bosco, the one-time leader of the Lost Boys and the Prince of the Fire Nation, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Your writing letters You were in an accident. And I saved your life by bringing you here. And everyone outside of here is dead.
What happened to your arm? I tried to escape.
I was trying to get in.
How do you know that this is real?
What was that?
Quiet.
How do you know that this is real?
I'm being prepared. Something's coming.
Sci-Fi and Squeam, 10 Cloverfield Lane. Yes, that was a bit of a trailer, and that was also I Think We're Alone Now, Tommy Jane and the Shondells. Something a little bit different, but it's from the soundtrack for the film, Cloverfield Lane. Here on Sci-Fi and Squeam, we'll have a little bit of a chat about that. Here is our review of 10 Cloverfield Lane. Cloverfield 2? Not really, not exactly, and but right from the start of this film, and it's been anticipated, although it's been a little bit secretive, because J.J. Abrams, of course, who did the first Cloverfield film, he's the producer and executive producer on this one, bringing the talents together, one could say. It's directed by Dan Trachtenberg, produced by, as I mentioned, J.J. Abrams and Lindsay Weber. Screenplay by Josh Campbell and Mac Stukin and Damien Chazelle. Story by Josh Campbell and Matt Stukin. It stars the amazing John Goodman, the wonderful Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and John Gallagher Jr., who's a bit of a newbie to genre fans out there. But he's probably best known for being in musicals, actually. Rock musicals like Spring Awakening, and earned him a Tony Award, actually, believe it or not, back in the day, back a couple of years back in 2011. So he's got a background in theatre and that type of thing. So it was interesting. But handles it well in this genre film. Music by Bear McCreary. Of course, Bear has worked a lot in genre films, from doing the wonderful soundtrack that we know of the television series The Walking Dead to things like Battlestar Galactica and, of course, Outlander is another one. So it's got a good pedigree here. It's Bad Robot Productions, of course, cinematography by Jeff Cutter, and it's distributed throughout the world by Paramount Pictures. It's now on in Australia. It started last Thursday, but getting around to seeing the film and getting around to talking about it is another story. In any case, released a day after the Australian release, actually, last week. So what is it all about? Well, originally it was based on a script called The Cellar that was under production, but it's had a very much a change of scene, a change of connection, and it's been connected to the 2008 film Cloverfield, which we would call an alien invasion movie along the lines of Independence Day, but perhaps a little bit more intimate, a little bit more interesting, because it uses found footage and, of course, the handheld camera genre, which really put JJ on the map. Led him on to things like Lost, I guess, and, of course, the wonderful Super 8 film a couple of years later. In any case, this is not Cloverfield 2. This is 10 Cloverfield Lane. And we start off with Mary Elizabeth Winstead's character. She is there in a room. She's in an apartment, we presume, and she's about to leave Ben, her boyfriend. She plays Michelle. Now, she's off to leave Ben, and we're not sure why, but there's been some sort of disagreement and argument, perhaps something violent, perhaps a domestic violent situation. He's trying to change her mind, but simply through his telephone call. Now, she's in mid-sentence of a telephone call, and we hear something really thunderous happening outside in the background. So I'm guessing that is the very few times we see or sense anything that is directly from Cloverfield 2008. So then she's in her car and taking the journey to take her, we don't know where, she just seems to be heading into the hinterland, into the forest, on a windy road, on a journey to, we don't know, to nowhere, somewhere. The long winding road takes her to nighttime, night falls. She still hasn't answered her boyfriend's phone call messages. She's not responding. And then there's a car accident, which just takes you, you know, bang. It just hits you straight away. We just started with the credits, and already there is JJ's signature for special effects, for sudden, overwhelming, massive effects of some sort. Some calamity has happened. Yeah, just think of Lost, airplane diving into this ocean, etc. You'll get the picture. He's good at doing that. Remember the train wreck in Super 8? How can you not forget that? In any case, basically, we see this is almost a homage to abduction movies, but not so much the alien abduction movie. Spoiler here. But she finds herself in a basement, in a brick stark basement, on a mattress on the floor with all the tropes, with all the signature symbolisms there, with a decaffeta bag of some sort. She's got an IV in her arm. She's chained to the bed or mattress. Actually, there's a pipe in the wall she's attached to with handcuffs, attached to her knee that's damaged from obviously the accident, and John Goodman enters. Now, the sound effects, of course, are a bit like Transformers. It's incredibly loud. Depends on the theatre you're in, I suppose, but it is pretty damn loud. And the interiors of the bunker that she's found herself in, held there she is by this character, Howard, played by John Goodman, is something of a mix of Last House on the Left, abduction home movies, and 1970s horror films. So it's got everything from board games like Monopoly. They even talk about their fear of plane operation. And she finds herself with this other bloke, as I mentioned before, the actor John Gallagher Jr. So he plays another bloke who's just fought his way to be there, and they're in this bunker. Something's happened. The world outside apparently is contaminated with bad air or something. Or is it? That's the thing. What is this? Is this an invasion movie of aliens, or is it really about an invasion of someone's personal space and life? Has she been abducted? Has Michelle, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, been dragged off by John Goodman, who's a big, burly guy? Has she been taken and abducted and put into the cell? There's a missing girl. There's a bloody earring. There's scratched words like help on a window, on a glass, and there's people trying to get in. It has a kind of a zombie character. It has all those sort of tropes and memes going on in a visual aspect, and it is very well lit. It's beautiful to look at, but it's claustrophobic. It's like Cabin Fever, but there's no going outside for these folk. I really liked it. I've got to say that I found it engaging. I wanted to know more. It has a twist in it. It's like Panic Room without all the fancy gizmos. And certainly, you know, Mary Elizabeth Winstead does a wonderful job in this film. It is her film. It stands with her, I think. So I'm giving 10 Cloverfield Lane. I'm giving this a 4 out of 5. I was really impressed, and I've got to say, go and see it. If you want to jump out of your seat, if you want to feel a little bit creeped out, and if you believe John Goodman is the best evil boogeyman ever, then this is the film for you. 10 Cloverfield Lane, it's out everywhere. I believe it's even an IMAX, maybe, if you're lucky to see it on one of the big screens. Go and do it. The sound effects are amazing, and there's some wonderful little alien bits coming later in the film, but I won't spoil it too much. Anyway, there we go. I just love it for the homage and a great soundtrack by Bear McCleary, as we mentioned. And like I said, interesting little turn of events that happen. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9. Signing off now, and we'll be back next week with some spooky monster friends, including Dimitri Akakmi will be in here, and hopefully another special guest. We'll be talking about divine monsters. Only on Sci-Fi and Squeam. Thanks for listening on Joy 94.9.
I focused on being prepared. I saved your life by bringing you here. I knew this day would come. It's not safe out there. Something's coming.
Hey, this is Matt from Astron 6, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Unbelievable.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This is Owen Pallett, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
This is Ashley C. Williams, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Matt Kennedy. You're listening to Joy 94.9. Enjoy it.
I don't sleep, I do nothing but think of you.
You've been listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Check out joy.org.au/sci-fi and scream for more.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.